All right. Tonight, you can go ahead and follow on the Bible app, but we're going to dive deeper into our series all about Jesus. And last week, we talked about who is Jesus, and we talked about the prophecies that were told 600 years before he was even born. And we talked about, is he a liar, lunatic, or Lord? And I hope this week we really thought and pondered on which one of those three is he to us. And tonight we're going to be talking about if we have the idea that Jesus is Lord. And we're going to talk about why does Jesus matter? And you got to start off, we're going to start off with this statement, Jesus' death opened the door to forgiveness. And there's some questions that are in this statement, like, why did he have to die? What is this door of forgiveness? What's on the other side of this door? What was Jesus' sacrifice? It says in Ephesians 1:7, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of the Son and forgave our sins. We got to start with Jesus' sacrifice when we're talking about this statement. And I want you to think of a time where someone made a sacrifice for you, like personally. Like, there's people, like we have the military, that they sacrifice their lives for us each and every day. But try to think about something that is personal to you, that you can think of a story. Because I have a story. It's kind of it's just a little funny story, but my family, for some reason, on my dad's side of the family, they live out of town. They live in different states. And every time they come in, my dad always tells this story because he thinks it's funny. And so I was about 3 or 4 years old, and we were at my grandma's house, and her neighbors across the street had just moved in. And so we were helping them move in, paint, do whatever. I don't honestly physically remember what exactly we were doing there besides helping them out. Well, they had a pool, and there were older kids than me, and I had no idea how to swim yet. I was little. And so all the adults were just chilling out, hanging out after a long day's work, and I see all these kids in the pool, and 3-year-old Mikey decides to just book it and dives into the pool. And instantly, my dad dropped whatever was in his hands, and he just dove into the pool and got me out of the pool. I didn't get hurt or anything, but thinking about that story, like, my dad, yes, he saved my life, and I'm grateful for that because I might have drowned if he didn't jump in the pool. But what did he really sacrifice? Because it was in the 90s. He didn't have a cell phone. He just had his wallet, and that's about it. That was probably in his pockets, and his clothes got wet. But when we think about Jesus' sacrifice, he actually gave his life for us. And he didn't honestly have to do that because he's God. And the cool thing is he did it anyways. And he even did it for the people that hated him. Even for the people that persecuted him, he did it. And so I guess I want to ask, why is this important? Why does all this matter? What does it really mean that Jesus sacrificed his life? Well, it all starts with this. God is holy, and we are not. So we are separated from God because we have sin in our lives, and God can't be near sin. It says in Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. None of us are perfect, and none of us will ever be perfect. We have sin that infects us. And it all started back when Adam and Eve made the first sin, when they decided to eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you read the story, it talks about God, in a sense, he punished them. He gave them consequences. And he made childbirth painful, and he made the crops. They had to, it was going to be hard for them to make crops. And Things were going to be tough for him now. But the real kicker that now had to happen was they had to die. Because of sin, we have death. And it's not just a physical death. There's the physical death, and there's also the spiritual death and our eternal death. And it says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Because of what Adam and Eve did, we have sin in us as well. So at some point in time, we have to die. But we're at this point in the story where it's honestly kind of a little bit depressing, where like we're going to die and we don't really see any hope. But when Jesus comes into the story, he completely flips the whole narrative. He completely flips everything, because when Jesus comes into the story, he comes down to earth as God, and he comes in perfect human form. And when he makes that sacrifice and he dies on the cross, he in turn makes us holy. When he makes us righteous, when he died on the cross, he was the ultimate sacrifice, because the only one that could make the ultimate sacrifice is God, because he's the only one that fits the perfect criteria of what God needs. And something really cool is God is holy, and the holiness demands that he be surrounded by holy things. But God is also love, and that love compels him to make a way for his creation. See, Jesus' sacrifice gives us eternal life. And it's really cool that when we're the ones that screwed up, we're the ones that deserve death, we're the ones that deserve the punishment that Jesus got, God made a way for us to be with him, because that's God's number one goal. We're his number one priority. God just wants to be with us. And we were honestly the ones that screwed it up. But when we go back to the first statement of Jesus' death opens the door to forgiveness, that's what's on the other side of the door of forgiveness, is eternal life. And you have to take that step to walk through that door. It says in Romans 3:24, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. When Jesus died and he rose again, God now sees us as Jesus. He sees us as someone now who is perfect. When we accept Christ into our life and we decide to follow him, and we believe and we admit that we're sinners, and we believe that he died for us for a reason, God sees it that we're perfect in his own eyes. It says in Romans 5:6-8, you see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God loves us even when we feel unlovable. It's pretty easy for someone to sacrifice their life for someone who loves them back. But Jesus died for the people that hated him, and he died for us who disobey him probably every single day, because none of us are perfect. And when we look at it this way, Jesus' death and resurrection offers us hope. And it's not just a hope where you hope that you're going to get good grades, or you're going to have a lot of friends or anything like that. This hope is everlasting, and it's based on and grounded in truth and in love, and it never goes away. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on in your life, if you're a believer in Christ, you can always look up to what he did for you no matter what's going on, no matter what this world tells you, it's not true, because Jesus tells you it's not true because of the actions he did by sacrificing his own life for you. Jesus defeated death. And if we think back to what was the cause of death, and that's sin, that means Christ defeated sin. And if Christ defeated sin, then we don't have anything to worry about if we follow him and put our trust in him. Jesus defeats the one thing that infects all of us and tears all of us down. Jesus did it because he loved you. And so my connection point for the night is Jesus matters because you matter to him. You matter enough to Jesus that he came to this earth to save you from an eternity of pain and suffering. And we are the ones that screwed up, and we are the ones that deserve death. But he said no. He said, I'll take your place. I'll take your shame. I'll take your pain. I'll take whatever guilt you have. I'll take it. And when we look at it this way, Jesus gives us a free gift. And I know there's probably a few of you in here who probably don't know what I'm talking about and don't know what this free gift is. And this free gift, and it's going to be a little bit of a big word, is salvation. And what salvation means basically is that you're saved from your sins. That when Jesus came down to earth, he died for you, and he would do it all over again. And salvation is the way that we can have eternal life, and we can spend eternity with God. Because when Jesus defeated death, he gave us life. So I want everyone to go ahead and bow their heads and close their eyes. Everything we talked about tonight is how you achieve eternal life. Once you accept Jesus and follow him, you're not defined by your past, but you're defined by Jesus. You have nothing to worry about anymore. You are loved, and you matter. You matter to Jesus. You matter to all of us in this room. And I know there's some of you that are probably going through some stuff right now, and maybe you needed tonight to hear that someone loved you enough to give up their life for you, and that they would do it all over again. Maybe tonight you needed to hear that the God who created you wants to be with you. Maybe you needed to hear just that you're loved. And I want you guys to know that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happened in the past, if you feel like you can't be loved, I'm going to tell you you're wrong, because you are loved. You're not defined by your past anymore. You're not defined by the things you've done. You're defined by Jesus and what he did for you. And I want to open this up a little bit to, maybe you don't know if you're going to heaven. Maybe that's a question that you've been asking yourself for a while now. Maybe last week you were here and that question was just on your heart or on your mind, and maybe you looked up and maybe you just decided you didn't want to talk to anyone. And maybe tonight is what you needed to hear. Maybe God's speaking to you tonight. And I want to open it back up, just like last week. If you can't confidently tell yourself or answer to yourself if you would go to heaven, if you were to die when you walked out of these doors, do you know if you would go to heaven? Do you know if you would spend eternity with God? And I want to open it up to, if you're bold enough with no one else looking around, if you would just want to look up and meet me eye to eye, and it would just be me and you seeing it. And maybe tonight there's another group I want to talk to. Maybe you've never heard something like this before. Maybe you haven't heard that, man, I'm not the only one who's not perfect, because no one is. And maybe something's going on in your life where you have some trials going on, or life at home's just not good, and you really needed to hear that you're loved by Jesus, and you're loved by God, and you're loved by the people in this room. We would love to know that. And I want to ask if you guys would be willing to just maybe raise your hands. No one else would be looking around, that you need prayer, or you need to talk to someone tonight about that. They're going through some hard times. Okay. All right. Let me pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, learning about what Jesus did for us and why it mattered. Lord, we thank you so much for the things you do for us, Lord, and for sending Jesus to die for our sins, Lord, because we don't deserve it. Lord, we don't deserve anything that you do for us, Lord, but you love us enough that you do it for us, Lord. You show us love in so many ways, Lord, and I just pray that tonight, Lord, that the hands that went up, or the eyes that met with mine tonight, Lord, that you soften their hearts, Lord, and you open their hearts to you, Lord, and that they will find you tonight, Lord. And I just pray that you'll put the hands over everyone in this room, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that no matter what's going on in our lives, Lord, that we can look to you, because you defeated death and you defeated sin, and you're always watching over us. You say when we're your children, Lord, that no one can snatch us out of your hands, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you do, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless the rest of this night and bless the food that we're about to have. We ask you all these things in your name. Amen.